I have a leg injury and a foot injury right
a
now.
A leg and a foot. Are they on the same
side of my body?
Side of your body?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Left.
What happened to you?
I got stung by a bee. And then I think I got stung by another bee.
Oh, come on.
I think I did.
When did this happen?
Last night.
Last night?
Last night. Who knew?
It's Mike Shope.
Huh. Just never thought about getting stung by a bee at night.
I don't know.
But there would still be bees at night.
I guess.
That to sound like the flat earth thing. The bees just don't disappear when it gets dark.
Okay, but I've never seen one at night.
Well, it's dark.
And the bulldog.
Maybe they would not be out at night, but you disturbed it, so it came out and said, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, they weren't expecting me.
I'm in here trying to watch the Vietnam War on PBS,
right.
And you're what are you doing sitting down in the chair? This is my time.
You are not supposed to.
Right.
This is our time.
Right.
That's what the bee said.
Right.
So, on behalf of the other bees.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, I don't even need to ask, as if bee talk wasn't riveting enough. At some point, like middle of last week, I have a basement. We have a bar in our basement. All the podcasting I do is from my basement. ADP Chasing, free plug, tomorrow morning, 10, all times Eastern. So I'll be sitting at my bar in my basement for that. And maybe it was then. No, I wasn't on last week. Like, say Wednesday, it doesn't matter. Middle of last week, there was a fly bothering me in my spot there. And I'm like, all right, well, this is annoying, but it's a fly. And then I left. I left the scene without doing anything about the fly. And then on Friday, went to Maryland for the weekend for my son's lacrosse. And I went downstairs this morning, and there was a fly. And I think there was another time in between. Like three or four times I went to my basement, and I noticed, heard, maybe saw once, like one fly. And I thought maybe either it would be more or none, having this much time pass. But no, each time recently, like three or four times in a row, going into my basement, one fly has been perceptible. So now you know that. 803-0550 to call in. We've talked about James Cook a lot today. I know, again. But there's really no news at all on him. And my voice there sounded like maybe that's surprising. I guess I'd say it's a little surprising. So it's been interesting today with callers talking about what they would do if they were Cook. I like that. I think I wouldn't have, in the first place, made it known what I was looking for in terms of dollars. Like he went out there for that, with that. And so not being someone who would have done that, and, you know, the type of person I am, usually I'll just take the deal and not want to listen to my voice, right? Not want to disappoint. I'm not really proud of it. I mean, there are times probably when I should have been more stuck up for myself more in these kinds of things. But, you know, Cook is somebody who announced what he wanted, and I don't think you can just sort of ignore that or not ignore, dump that if you're Cook and just say, well, oh well, whoops, didn't happen, I'm here, let's go. That, I think, looks funny. Because then why? Like, it's a poker hand. Why say it? If you're not going to mean it, why bother? What, are the Bills going to see your Twitter and just pay you? Whoops. So that's why, that logic is why I keep coming back to this story. Because even though he was at that minicamp thing to not get fined, and even though we don't have any real speculation about whether he's going to skip training camp or whatever he's going to do, that's next week, I still think maybe there is something. Because you don't just be like, I want $15 million a year or whatever however I should put that exactly, and then just play for five. I just think, like, who takes you seriously when you do that? 803-0550 if you have a thought on that. We had Warren Sharp on earlier, and I'm looking at his football preview, which is coming out. I'll say again what he said, which is, if you want it, I don't get this. Like, he did this the last time he was on with us. There's that too, sharpfootball.com, but there's also sharp.football. That's the one he said. And if you use the promo code BILLS, you can have it for $1. He said, I think he said it's $30, but you can have it for $1 if you have, I mean, if you use promo code Bills. Sharp.football. It's like almost 600 pages. So, for a buck. Come on. I'm trying to, it's really, parts of it are really statsy. And I'm trying to make sense of what might be interesting here in some of the Bills stuff. Offensive efficiency and tendency research is interesting, maybe, in one way. So it's everything is by rank. The Bills were, to give you an example, second overall in the NFL last year in first half offensive efficiency. There's success rate. There's explosive plays. All kinds of stuff like this. And then there's, if you're following along at home, this is page 142 of the Sharp Football Preview, and we are looking at number 26 in the left-hand column. Percentage of runs into eight-man plus boxes. So what percentage of the Bills' running plays were into eight-man boxes? You with me on that? Do I have to describe that? Eight men in the box. 32nd. So they ran the fewest percentage or the lowest percentage in the league of their runs were into eight-man boxes. That seems smart. I don't want to run into those eight-man boxes. Would you? I wouldn't. That sounds terrible. So good. 32nd in the league. Now we'll move to number 28. Oh, before we do that, actually, 27, because we should go in order. Success on runs into eight-man boxes. 6th. So they rarely did it, but when they did it, they did pretty well at it. And they could have had Alec Anderson on the field for some of these plays. You know, they're going to be in different formations. This is just against eight-man boxes. 32nd in the league in attempts by percentage. 6th in success. Percentage of runs into seven-man boxes. Now we have removed one of the men from the box. 1st. Highest percentage of rushes of any team into seven-man boxes. Simple game, you know? It's kind of a simple game. Doesn't this work for you? Like, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. Seven men in the box, run it. 8, pass. How much easier could you make it for Allen? I mean, I know there's a lot more, but simply count the men in the box. 7, James Cook, or you take off. 8, nope. I think that's pretty cool. Like, I wonder what that looks like around the league. And by the way, their success, since I did the other one, on seven-man boxes runs 5th. Looks like they were pretty successful running the ball in general. 6th as well on into six-man boxes. 22nd in per attempts, so they're kind of in the middle. They didn't want to. What do we got there? You know that what that might be? 6-man boxes, so what? I've got 5 DBs or even 6 DBs on the field. And that's probably because, you know, it's 3rd and long, right? So I'm not going to run. It's still a relative thing, percentage, but I'm not going to run on those plays too often. I'd probably need a big game, at least sometimes, depending on the team. So, yeah, pretty simple game. 8 men in the box, I'm throwing it. 7, I'm running. 6, well, I guess I could do either. Yeah, this is an example of the one of many examples of the Sharp Football Preview. And, you know, it's not just that granular data. It's, you know, also a lot of writing. And we'll play this back, but Warren's like, he didn't mince words about it. Like, they have a McDermott problem. And these playoff losses to Kansas City are too much. Like, they're giving up way more points to the Chiefs than the Chiefs are scoring against their other opponents. And, you know, you make a point, Warren Sharp. So that's coming up. 803-0550 for your calls. Home Run Derby is tonight. Are you familiar with Cam Raleigh? Seattle Mariners catcher. I ask the question because you may not be. I mean, I'm not talking about Aaron Judge. You are probably familiar with Aaron Judge. You may not be familiar with Cal Raleigh. Any real baseball fan would be, because he has 38 home runs this year already. It's the second most going into an All-Star break ever. Bonds had 39 one year. And I don't know, have you seen Cal Raleigh play? It's possible that I have not ever seen this guy. I mean, I've probably seen him, but it's not like I'm making a point to see Cal Raleigh. He's a switch hitter. He's a catcher. He's the big dumper, Cal Raleigh. There's a nickname. He is a switch hitting catcher for the Mariners that has 38 home runs at the break. And he's in the home run derby tonight. So you can get to know him then, which I recommend. Home run derby's fine. It's a little over the, maybe a lot over the top, but it's something. It's the night before the All-Star game. This is what we have. You're going to like it. Don't complain. But that's what we have, the home run derby. I watched the Yankees one day last week. It might have been Thursday. I wasn't feeling well. One day last week, I watched the Wednesday or Thursday probably. I watched the Yankees, and the pitcher was named Cam Schlittler. They have a young pitcher they called up. It was his first start, I believe. That is a tough name. Cam Schlittler, I believe, was the name of this Yankee pitcher. So I caught that. Toronto is still in first, right? Two games? What is the Jays' lead at this point? At least they're up. They're up at least by one.
They are two games up.
Two games up. All right. Cam Schlittler, everybody. So home run derby tonight, All-Star game tomorrow. I'm like most baseball fans around my age or older, probably, which like fond memories of the All-Star games growing up. Dave Parker died a week or two ago. And so it was a great essay at Defector about Dave Parker, who was just the coolest. And he made famous plays, two throws in the 1979 All-Star game in Seattle that just are like, if you saw it, baseball fans back then, even younger, would know about them. And I watched the highlight. I read the essay at Defector about Parker, who I just liked even more from this writing. It was great. He was on the show once. I mean, he was older, and it sounded like he wasn't, you know, top of his game, but happens, right? So loved this essay about him. And the throw home from that All-Star game, the YouTube highlight was linked. And, you know, it's 2 minutes or something like that. And I watched it. It's Joe Garagiola and Tony Kubek are the announcers. Parker, on the fly from deep right, throws out the runner, Brian Downing, at the plate. And Garagiola, who these two guys were great. They were great together. And so I always liked him. He was a catcher. And he immediately, you should watch it, he immediately goes crazy about the play the catcher makes on this throw by Parker. This is the late Gary Carter. The late, great Gary Carter is the catcher. And so it is good. He has to, it's not like right to him so he can just sort of be in his normal position behind the plate and the ball is perfect. He has to go up the line a couple of feet, a few feet maybe to catch it and then twist back to tag the runner while blocking the plate, which you could do then. Baseball, you know, for real players back then, blocking the plate and everything. So Garagiola is just amazed immediately by the play Carter makes, which is cool. And so, I wasn't expecting it. You're watching this highlight of one of the most famous throws in baseball history. It might be number one. What is the most famous throw in baseball history? What would it be? It would have to be some, you know, important play, third base or home. It's not going to be the second. What's the most famous throw? Like, this might be it. So that's what you're watching in the middle of this essay about the late Dave Parker. And the announcer just, like, can't stop talking about the play the catcher makes. And so finally he stops. He does eventually stop. And then Kubek chimes in, what a throw. I was getting worried that maybe this incredible, famous moment in All-Star game history, in baseball history, came with, because this happens sometimes, the broadcasters just not noticing it, not recognizing it. You need that for the highlight. You need that for the memory. You need the announcers to know right away, and also in my opinion, preferably not scream at you about how great it was. They don't need to be screaming at you. They have microphones, but a lot of them do that. Here, Gargiulo loves the play Carter makes, fair enough, but doesn't get to the throw. Kubek mentions the throw on the fly from right. He's amazed by it. We all are. And then Gargiulo goes back to the, when it's his turn to talk next, he goes back to Gary Carter. You know, fine. It is good. I can certainly appreciate a former catcher, you know, appreciating the play that was made there. But it's super famous. And sometimes I'll think of Parker and that game, and the play in my mind is a throw to third that he makes. And I think I've probably misspoken about this before because I clicked on it and I'm kind of thinking this is going to be a play at third. But no, it wasn't. So I've probably misspoken about that before. Before we get to a break here, want to mention that Garrett Wilson contract. Just quickly, it's been in the updates. The Jets signed Garrett Wilson. Is it $90 million guaranteed, maybe? Is that the number? And this contract makes him the NFL's fifth highest paid wide receiver. He is great. You know, he's another one of these guys that I get jealous about when thinking about the Bills and their wide receivers. Not like they need Garrett Wilson necessarily. They've been a much better team than the Jets. But, man, I would love it if somehow the Bills had somebody like this. I guess they really don't want to have somebody like this, right? Like they've worked around it. If that's not unfair to say. Fantasy, Garrett Wilson is, because it's kind of time, right, out there? Not just for the sickos like me, it's kind of time. Fantasy football is coming. He is a late second round pick. You could have, who's your choice? Garrett Wilson, Rashi Rice, T. Higgins, Devontae Adams, Jackson Smith and Jigba. There's your like late second to early third wide receivers. You can have your choice. You can't have more than one. But I am not underweight on Wilson. Even though he's had three straight 1,000-yard seasons for the Jets. I mean, you got to give him some respect for that. Talking about some of that data from Warren Sharp's excellent football preview. As I mentioned, he was on the show earlier today. We'll have that for you next. Evan Silva tomorrow, by the way. This is Mike Shope on WGR.